coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Oh, man, we got a great show for you today. We have got Gabe Suarez from Suarez International. I love this guy. I love what he teaches. I love his attitude. It's fantastic. This guy will fire you up, and he'll give you a no-nonsense approach to personal defense. So, hey, I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up in segments 2 and 3. Oh, man. Is it cold outside, or am I just a wuss? Let me look on my phone here. Go to the weather app, and it says, 10 degrees. You know, it's all relative, isn't it? You know, some people think 10 degrees is cold. I'm one of those people, actually. We were out on the gun range Sunday. I had a class this past Sunday over in Fenville on the lakeshore. And I had 25 people sign up for the class. Only 10 showed up. But it was 12 degrees out there. You know, most of my range time is done outside. I like an outdoor range. And I tell you, but you know, Sunday, I would have taken an indoor range because it was 12 degrees out in the warmth of the afternoon. But we did okay. Hey, nobody got shot. Nobody froze to death. I got paid. It was a good day. We have a nice warming room there right out on the range. It's a covered range. There's a closed up room with a propane heater in it. And all 12 of us, 10 students and 2 instructors, could fit inside that room. And I would do the instruction inside there, and then we'd go out and shoot, then we'd run back into the warmth. And I tell you, oh man, every mother's son wishes he were me, because I just live the American dream here. I have a great life. I love teaching people how to protect themselves, even if it is, you know, 10 or 12 degrees. You know, but oddly enough, I look at the long-range forecast. I've got another class coming up this Saturday in Hamilton, again, out on the lakeshore. And the high for that day is 34 degrees. And I go, hey, what is going on with that? I mean, the high tomorrow, Wednesday, is 0 degrees. And then 2 degrees on Thursday, 18 on Friday, and then 34, 38, 38, 31, and then it starts to go back down again. But you know, weather. Weather is a strange beast. You never know when and where it's going to hit you. It's always changing. So you might as well just roll with it, man. Just go with it. You know, I've learned that even in my advanced years, right? I'm 61 years old. Embrace the suck. Sometimes life sucks. When it does, embrace it. Embrace it. This Saturday, we've got a class coming up, and it's Groundhog Day. I am really looking forward to that. I'm trying to find some of those stuffed groundhogs, you know, the groundhog toys that we can shoot out on the range. I think, you know, that would be really cool, because every year, this stupid groundhog, you know, he pops up and sees his shadow, and there's 6 more weeks of winter. And I think it's time that we put this groundhog down. Let's give him what for. Fight back. The groundhog has to die. And then we'll have him for lunch. You know, it's so hard to get good groundhog these days. I mean, you have to shoot him in August. You know, gut him out, skin him. You know, bag them, put them in Ziploc, you know, for February 2nd. I didn't do that this year. I don't have any groundhog meat for Groundhog's Day this year. So, lack of planning on my part. Next year, it'll be a different story. Groundhog jerky. Actually, that reminds me the novel that I just put out, you know, Jack Pine Strong, set in the Upper Peninsula. In one of the scenes, it's Groundhog Day, and they have groundhog pasties for dinner. I kind of threw that in there, you know, just for fun. But anyways, I'm rambling. I got a lot of classes planned in February and March. Most of them are outdoors. But hey, we will prevail. I'm looking forward to springtime. You know, it's odd. You know, people come to a January class and it's 10 degrees out and they complain. And I go, yeah, just shut up. You know, I was here in July. I didn't see you here. You know, you were out on the beach sunning yourself. So suck it up. Shut up. Don't complain. Come to the class and embrace the suck. All right. No sympathy here, folks. No sympathy whatsoever. Let me take a drink here. Diet Coke. Actually, it's half Diet Coke and half regular Coke. Because I'm not really actively trying to lose a lot of weight right now. I'm just maintaining where I'm at. In the last year, I've lost, 20 pounds. And in the last year, 10 pounds. 11 pounds. So I'm just trying to get in shape. All right. Let's go ahead and check out some news. You know, I saw this right here. BearingArms.com. Man brutally attacked, robbed, then saved by armed wife. You know, that's got true love written all over it. I mean, she must really love this guy, right? One of my favorite sayings is that God created all men, but Sam Colt made all men equal. Well, Mr. Colt and his colleagues have made women pretty equal as well, and that's a wonderful thing. After all, there's a man alive right now that might not have been if his wife weren't armed. My wife is my backup, folks. You pick a fight with me, you pick a fight with my wife as well. About a week ago in Indianapolis, a man was arriving home around 9 p.m. after running a few errands when he was jumped by two armed attackers right on his front porch. The two suspects forced the man through the door, pistol-whipped him, shot him in the leg, and demanded cash. Apparently, he wasn't armed. He might be rethinking that one. While this was happening, the man's wife was running to his aid. The attackers, wearing gray clothing and masks on their faces, demanded money from her, too. The woman ran off toward the kitchen and grabbed a handgun instead. By firing one shot, she scared both of the attackers and quite possibly saved her husband's life. I would say, yeah, it's quite possible she did. Oh, it would be easy to rag on the guy by needing to get saved by his wife. But I'd only do that to my friends who would understand that I'm joking. You know, there's nothing wrong with letting your wife save you. Nothing wrong at all. Now, granted, the guy should have had his own gun. But for whatever reason, he didn't. You know, he screwed up. He should have had his own gun. But he didn't. So thank God for backup, right? Thank God his wife was there. The reality is that we should all be so lucky as to have a wife that would draw and fire a weapon when we were in that kind of trouble. Not every wife would, especially as anti-gunners have wormed their way into a lot of women's heads with arguments that guns equal dead family members. A lot of gun people joke about issues with their wives over their gun buying, but it's not a joke for a lot of guys. Yeah, actually, I have people, they want to take the class, but they'll say, my wife won't let me have guns in the house. You know, that kind of freaks me out anyways. It's like, what do you mean? You know, are you like half a man or a whole man? Your wife shouldn't be able to tell you that you can't have a gun. Do you tell her that she can't have certain things? You don't. It wouldn't do any good, would it? Well, so who's the man? You or your wife? Your wife needs to be armed. And you need to be armed. You can't force her to be armed. But, hey, there's no excuse for you. Get trained, get armed. All right. In this case, though, it seems the loving spouse had no issue with a gun in the house. More importantly, she had no issue using that gun when it mattered. You know, I tell you, folks, you know, even for you guys who are looking at me right now and saying, hey, you don't know my wife. That's true. What do I know about women? I've only been married 3 times, right? I tell you, once a woman makes friends with the power of a gun, she never turns back. Once she feels empowered, once she gets over her fear of the gun, oh man, it's Katie bar the door. They are good shots. They can have a warrior mindset as much as a man can. But you have to give them permission. You have to convince them that it's okay for them to protect themselves. And I have the same problem with a lot of men these days, too. You know, it's like in society, society has taught us over the last couple of generations that it's not okay to defend yourself. It's not okay to intervene if someone else is getting the tar stomped out of them. You know, you'll go to jail, you go to prison, you'll get in trouble. People will think you're a bad person. Well, you know, to heck with all of that. I do hereby give you permission to defend yourself, your family, and even strangers that you haven't even met yet. So there, go forth and conquer. All right, yada, 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 that's it with that. Oh, right here, I've got, you know, we've got Gabe Suarez coming up in segment 2. And I just now got an email from Gabe. This is his newsletter, Suarez International. And he writes really good articles. So I've got this article here, Myths of the Gun World. Gabe says, I am writing a 5-part series on the secrets. These are those intangible things that can't be quantified in a shooting test or sporting event. Yet the very same things that define the difference between victory and death in a gunfight. I will write the 5 parts out with my unedited opinions and let the chips fall wherever they let the chips fall wherever the hell they fall. If you like what you read, there will be an opportunity to let us know. Here we go. The first installment will discuss the myths of the gun world. These are things that have been accepted as truth because they have been said so often. Blah, blah, blah. Myth number 1. The presence of the gun is all you need, so have a gun. Well, to be sure, the first rule of the gunfight is, you know, bring a gun. But that doesn't mean, that doesn't guarantee you success. Having a gun is a good thing, but it is actually less important than your willingness to use it, your ability to use it well, and your understanding of the dynamics of the fight. Absolutely true, Gabe. You got to have the warrior mindset. You got to know the rules of engagement, use of deadly force. And you also have to have some skills. You've got to know how to shoot that gun, how to run it, how to operate it. And you have to be able to hit with tactical accuracy and sometimes tactical precision. Myth number 2, it is all about shooting skills. Very few shooting instructors have any personal understanding of violence, and so their entire worldview consists of the artificial world of the shooting range. Yeah, I see that a lot. They stand there in their regular stance, and then they just try and put shots, holes in the paper, in a tight group. And they go, hey, look, I got a 2-inch group at 20 feet. So I am good to go. It doesn't work that way. I think you have to understand evil. You have to have a concept of it. To, you know your enemy. Know what you're up against before you get into that fight. Myth number 3. I was in fear of my life. That's all you need to utter is those magic words and the world will freeze in place. I like this. Like Dorothy and Toto, you will be instantly transported to your lawyer's office where he will save you with his lawyerly skills. And so those magic words and the magic phone number are all anyone worries about. Well, those magic words never had any magic, and that magic phone number never stopped an investigation from proceeding. So rather than the myth of the magic words and the lawyer from the sky, it is better to know when, where, and why you are justified in killing an adversary, as well as how an investigation starts and develops, so that you can make informed decisions and use the correct words. Yeah, I think Gabe, he's got a whole class, based just on that. Myth number four, if you shoot someone, you will be arrested and sued. This myth is promulgated by those who sell legal services and associated products. Here's a secret. Victims do not get arrested. Only suspects do. Wouldn't it be nice to be the victim whose story was the main narrative in the report? The police have a goal, to conduct and conclude a thorough investigation in a timely manner and in a way that they can show was professional. They are not out to pin a crime on a victim. As far as being sued, you don't need to shoot anyone for that. That's true. This is America. You can sue anybody for anything. Myth number five, you will get PTSD if you shoot someone. I saw an ad recently. It began with the title, The Worst Day of Your Life, and led into it being the day you defended yourself with a firearm. I assumed they meant that you shot and killed some thug or terrorist who was going to do the same thing to you. I would think the worst day would be if you failed to shoot him because you left your gun at home or worse, missed your shot. That would be a bad day. But successfully putting down an evil man who sought your death or that of your people is the best day, not the worst one. He's absolutely right. It is a matter of perspective and self-image. If you allow such worst day thinking to become the norm for you, yes, you will very likely have emotional issues. However, if you reject such thinking as having a more realistic self-image about such things, your reaction will be quite different than the tear-spilling of the worst-day believers. And myth number six, physical fitness is not important because I have a gun. Oh boy, here we go. Truth be told, most gun people are in greater danger from diabetes and heart disease born of food abuse and obesity. Just go to a shooting range or gun store and look at the people there. What will happen to them when they get that sharp adrenaline spike, assuming their system is working properly when all they have been doing is feeding their faces for the last 20 years? I'm eating a sandwich right now. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. What will happen when they take a shot themselves as the opening shots to a big unexpected gunfight? Will their already taxed system be able to prevail and fight through, or will they succumb to a sudden heart attack from the shock? I will say that upwards of 80% of gun people would be better served taking a year off from shooting and spending that time at the gym lifting weights and reading about what they should and should not eat. Strong and fit people are harder to kill and are better at killing than weak and overweight people. You know, you are so right, Gabe. Preach it, brother. Next installment, The Secrets, Developing the Winner's Self-Image. Well, I will look forward to that one as well. You know, he's so right there. I mean, all of those things. Really good points. Well, I guess we are out of time now in segment one. But when we come back, we will have Gabe Suarez from Suarez International. We're going to be talking about a lot of good stuff today. You know, we're going to be talking about guns. What kind of gun should you have in your house for home defense? We'll talk about some RMR sights again. We'll talk about laser sights. We'll talk about ammunition, just a whole bunch about home defense. What do you want to use to defend you and your family while you are at home? All right, we got a two-minute break coming up here. While you are away, go ahead and check out, go to Amazon.com, buy Civilian Combat, the concealed carry book. You know, I wrote it. Don't waste my time. Go buy the book. Read it. Oh, Jack Pine Strong. I just came out with that novel last week. You've got to buy this. This is a good book. I sent a copy to Gabe. I can't wait to see what he thinks about this. I think he's going to like it. It's just full of guts and grease and, you know, crowbars and hatchets and sledgehammers and guns. And oh, it's good. It's really good stuff. All right. Also, check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and then elitefirearms.us. When I come back, again, Gabe Suarez from Suarez International. We're going to have fun talking about the gun. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
and Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. I'm speaking today with Gabe Suarez from Suarez International. Gabe, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Skip.
Hey, not a problem. I know, you know, Gabe, I really felt sorry for you this morning when I woke up. You know, I went out and I looked at the thermometer. It was like 7 degrees, and I thought, boy, poor Gabe down there in Arizona. It must be, what, 50 degrees down there?
Actually, I'm up in the mountains, and this morning when I left the house, it was 18. So,
oh, good, good.
You know, a little warm. Maybe not shorts, but I didn't actually have to, you know, dig the car out or anything like that.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter who you talk to. You know, all of that is relative, right? I mean, I can complain about it being 7 degrees here, and then I'll call my daughter who lives in northwestern Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like minus seven.
That's so, not going to work for me.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I envy you and all the other Arizonians. What do you call people from Arizona anyways?
Free.
There you go. It's easier to say too, isn't it?
Oh yeah. No, we've been out here for, oh my gosh, 16 years, 17 years this year. And I love it. I've been all over the country, and you know, not to disparage anybody else's location there, but me personally, I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Yeah, you know, I hear that a lot from people from Arizona, and a lot of people from Michigan. They'll move out there, you know, retire. Mm-hmm. A lot of good gun people from Michigan in Arizona now. So,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You know, if I was younger, maybe. But
yeah.
all my relatives are here. But anyways, hey, Gabe, today I want to talk. I want to talk about some guns. I want to talk about hardware. I want to talk about home defense. You know what kind of gun? I mean, we've got different kind of options. Can you go over, for my listeners, what kind of options do people have when we're talking about guns for home defense?
Well, you know, I mean, it's different than what you carry on the street. I think the NRA calls it outside the home or something like that.
Yeah.
For that type of application, you know, it's got to be small and concealable and convenient, and it's got to fit your daily attire and all that sort of thing. But you know, when you're in your house, I mean, you pretty much pick whatever you want, because you have a greater degree of leeway. You don't have to carry it around with you while you're making yourself an omelet and so on. So a lot of folks opt for larger weapons. I still think that, you should have a pistol regardless. Having it on you while you're at home is not a bad idea. You know, we hear all sorts of cases where, you know, there's a home invader or something, and the homeowner just happened to have gotten home and didn't disarm himself and was able to, respond. One of my students had that happen to him, matter of fact. You have greater leeway, so things like 12-gauge shotguns and rifles and so on are a bit more popular in that application.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know what you're talking about, you know, having a gun on you. I mean, guns on me right now. It's pretty much, it's always on me when I'm, well, I guess awake and pumping blood, I guess.
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, why not? I mean, you're used to it being there. It's always there. Whether I'm out cutting firewood, you know, I'll even wear it on the treadmill. when I'm working out on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Because
you
just never know when you're going to need it, and I'm used to it. So it's more of a bother to take it off, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Than to put it on. But I do like, I like the idea of having the gun on me, because I can get it in like less than a second. I can have it out, I'm ready, and I can put bullets on target if I need to. And sometimes that's all the time you got, right?
Right, right.
But then at the same time, you know, if you knew, let's say Gabe, hypothetical, you knew at 5 o'clock today that someone was going to be breaking down your front door and coming in, what would be the Gabe Suarez firearm of choice?
Probably a 12 gauge. Something along the lines of one of our custom TAC-14s, but you know, for close range, there's nothing that does the job better than a 12 gauge. And you know, I know rifles are real popular and everything else, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a rifle, but in my opinion, you know, given the you know, parameters that you gave me, absolutely 12 gauge shotgun.
Yeah, so a 12-gauge shotgun, what kind of a round would you use?
I'll tell you what I've got. I've got we started doing custom 12-gauges long before, about a year and a half or so before Remington came out with a TAC-14. You know, we built them out of those pistol grip-only deals that they used to sell. But anyway, it's in essence a custom TAC-14, TAC-14. I've got an RMR on there because it's easier to use a dot than to you know, have to use precise alignment of sights and so on. I've got a small flashlight on the side, and I have on it a folding arm brace, you know, quote, unquote. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be, you know, folding, but I like having a pistol grip on those type of weapons. And I've got a plus one on there for an extra round. And I would just put some sort of modern, high-quality 12-gauge. And, you know, that's it. You're good to go.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions that I run across, you know, with a lot of my concealed carry students. I'll hear people say the dumbest things. You know, people will, you know, say, well, you know, for home defense, I'm going to use a shotgun so I don't have to aim. What do you say to people like that?
No, you know what? That's a mistake. You need to orient your shots onto your target. There's no self-directed ammunition or weapon or anything like that. It just doesn't exist. The spread of the pattern on a 12 gauge is a little more forgiving because of its spread. You know, I know one thing that today you hear a lot of from folks that are advocating shotguns is they want to constrict the pattern and choke the barrel and all this kind of stuff. I think that's a mistake because it removes the advantages of using that weapon in the first place.
Yeah. Well, Gabe, something like a TAC-14, like what you use, how long is the barrel? And let's say how much does the pattern spread out, say at 10, 15, 20 feet?
Well, on that particular weapon, it's got a 14-inch barrel. You know, what makes it a non-NFA weapon is that it doesn't have a, quote, stock. It's got an arm, you know, that whole discussion that we probably don't need to get into. I've got a couple of videos that I put up, patterning the TAC-14 / stakeout that we do. It held pattern pretty well. You know, up to about 25 yards, and 25 yards in an urban environment is a long shot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with modern ammunition today, you can pretty much, you know, choose what kind of performance and pattern spread and everything that you're going to get without really having to do anything to the barrel. You know, we polish the inside of the barrel just to, you know, give the ammunition less resistance and make it easier for guys to clean and all that sort of thing. But, you know, you can you know, go and you buy a, you know, 5-round box of all these different types of buckshot, you know, put a few targets out there and just fire one round at the center and see what the result is downrange, and, you know, pick the one that you want.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I tell my students is, I say, you know, listen, everybody's house is a little bit different. I mean, I have a small house, you know, small rooms. You know, just walk around your house and go, okay, where am I most likely to have to take a shot? You know, there's the front door. Maybe I'm at the top of the stairs. Is it 10 feet? Is it 20 feet?
Yeah.
And then, you know, that'll help you, you know, pick out, you know, what kind of shot you want. Do you like the, you know, just plain old double up buck shot, or do you like some of the specialty rounds that they have?
No,
out
you
there?
Know what? I'm kind of old school when it comes to that. When I was working in law enforcement, I kind of got in a lot of, you know, situations with 12 gauge, and it was always buckshot, and it worked marvelously. I don't really see a lot of advantage in changing. Buckshot is buckshot. You know, you can make the shell a different color. You can make it glow in the dark. You can, you know, coat the pellets and, you know, NP3 if you want. But at the end of the day, you know, they're all going to do the same thing. So I personally right now I'm just using, what is that stuff I've got over there? I think it's, what is that? I think it's Hornady that I've got.
The critical defense rounds. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can't see it from here because my eyes are getting old. But
you and me both.
I got a box up there on the shelf. You know, and I keep slugs handy because, you know, I'm up here in the back country, and, you know, we have critters that may consider, you know, taking a bite out of you and that
sure.
sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and look, the thing that I'll tell you is with my situation, I don't have non-combatants at home. I don't have little ones scurrying around and all of that sort of thing. So should an event happen at home, all the good guys are behind me and all the bad guys are to the front. So,
yeah.
You know, I have a certain leeway in dealing with them. If the situation was reversed, let's say we go back, you know, 10, 15 years, and, you know, I've got, you know, in-laws, and I've got little guys, and you know, and all the house is crowded, and there's ambiguity about the location of the bad guys, I probably wouldn't choose a shotgun. I would probably choose something that gives me a little bit more surgical precision.
Okay.
You know, something like, you know, something with a you know, a how can I phrase this, with shoulder alignment support.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, you know, I used the PDW on a Glock for a long time, just something that we put together. You know, probably not a 223, probably something in the lines of a 9mm. You know, like an Evo or an MP5 or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And again, with the proviso that when you're dealing with somebody at close range, you know, in your home, in your business, and really, you know, pretty much anywhere, and you have the initiative, and you did, you went and got a long gun, so you have the initiative. I am all over shooting him in the face because face shots eliminate the concern over drugs and performance enhancing substances. They eliminate the concern over body armor. They eliminate the concern over any explosives and all that sort of thing. So with a 12 gauge, a shot to the face is event concluding.
I guess that's one way of putting it.
Yeah. You know, but it's, you'll have a similar effect with, you know, with a precisely placed pistol round.
Yeah. You know, you talk about, and I think, you know, I've heard you refer to it as center of face. And, you know, there's just so many people out there, in my mind, they just don't get it. You know, in my mind, combat is combat. You know,
sure.
and you know, you can argue about what you're going to call a headshot. You know, or whether or not you should take that headshot, or isn't that a little too mean? But the bottom line is, you know, the reason I practice shots to the center of the face is because gunfighting, you know, and I've never been in a gunfight, so you tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems like it's a game of milliseconds here. If he presses the trigger 1 millisecond before I press the trigger, and he gets lucky, aren't I a dead man?
Well, if it was safe and easy, everybody would be doing it. You know?
Yeah, okay. There you go.
No, it's true. It's an issue of timing. It's an issue of positioning, and there is some speed involved. But it's not the only thing. And again, with the advances in skill that we have today, I think the shooter of today is better than the shooter of, you know, 20, 30 years ago, because we've figured out ways to do things, you know.
Yeah.
Our equipment is more accurate. You know, you can take one of these RMR Glocks that we, you know, that we use and you know, put a target out at, 50 yards and, you know, maybe a 10-inch steel plate or something, let's say. You ding that thing all day long. I remember back when I first started it in law enforcement, and, you know, taking a 50-yard shot, are you crazy? That pistol's not capable. We do that now standing up. You know, I remember I went to a famous school up here in this area here that we're not going to talk about.
Right, right.
You know, and hey, they're good guys, you know, but this was back in, my gosh, 1990, I think. And in the advanced course, you went prone and you shot at a steel from 50 yards. And, you know, this was a pretty high-speed group of guys, and maybe 80% of the guys were able to get hits. I mean, today we're doing headshots at 50 yards from standing out of the holster, you know, in a time limit of maybe 5 seconds or less.
Yeah.
You know, because of, you know, we're not bound by trying to shoot from a certain stance or trying to do this or that, and you know, we've got red dots, so it makes everything easier.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do it?
You know, I want to talk about that some more, Gabe. We're out of time in this segment. But when we come back, I want to talk more about the RMR, because I'm fixated with it now, and it's all your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, all right, folks, we got a 2-minute break here. While we're away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and then elitefirearms.us. When we come back, we will speak more with Gabe Suarez from Suarez International. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with Gabe Suarez from Suarez International. Gabe, we were talking, you were mentioning RMR sights, and you were talking about 50-yard headshots. I got a question for you. Okay, I just finished up my 13th book. This was a novel, and I think I want to send a copy of this book to you because I think you'll like it. You know, a lot of guys don't read novels, but this is a cop novel set in the cold, frozen north of Michigan. I think you'll like this one. And, you know, this guy's using a RMR on his pistol. Now, how far can someone with proficiency using that RMR with maybe, let's say, your favorite Glock setup, how far can he make torso shots?
Well, okay, so I can tell you how far I've seen. And look, I'll preface it with saying this. You go on YouTube, okay, and there's all kinds of guys now, doing that. But look, there's outtakes, okay, and what they'll do is they'll put a target out there and they'll take a shot and they've filmed like 100 of them. They get one right. Oh, look, we were taking a shot and so on. I've done it at 100 yards in class in front of students, cold shot, no warm up.
Okay? Wow.
Because I shoot in front of my students all the time. I think anybody that doesn't shoot in front of their students is trying to hide something. Okay, maybe that they don't practice very much.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a guy in Texas. I'm going to give him a little bit of a cred here. John Payne, I have seen him do it at 300 yards.
Wow.
You know, now, I don't know if he was lucky, but, you know, he's a pretty good guy and pretty good shot, and he's got great eyesight and everything else, and in class, I think this was a class in, we were doing in Orange, Texas, and it was actually a sniper class, and we were done for the day, and, you know, you've been to Texas, sometimes they like to show off a little bit.
Yeah, you know, they have a high opinion kind of themselves.
Well, you know, and he says, "Hey, watch this," you know, and you know, he draws his pistol with an RMR and he dings the steel that we were shooting at 300 yards, and I just kind of went, "Okay, class is over. Let's go get some chow."
That's right.
You know, but it can be done. You know, I've had, you know, some students, not students, but customers of ours, and, you know, sometimes student, that are in, you know, in military service and, you know, out there. I'm trying to not give the show away, but they're you know, making the world safe for Americans from those people that don't like us and want to kill us.
Right, yeah.
And all that sort of thing. And I get, you know, notes from them every once in a while, and, hey, you know, one down 150 yards or something like that. And I know what they're talking about. You know, it's kind of like, wow, that's kind of cool. You know, my pistols are being used by the good guys to drop these bad guys. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. That is. Well, you know, Gabe, I just want you to know that you have made me, you know, almost eternally discontented because, you know, I'll be out there practicing, you know, with my iron sights. And I catch myself thinking this way. And I probably shouldn't think this way, you know, because practice is practice and you got to do it. But I'm out there and I'm practicing and practicing. And I always catch myself thinking, you know what, Skip, if you had one of those RMRs, you know, you'd be shooting a lot better. You know, no matter how much I practice with my open sights, with my iron sights, I'll never be as good as I could be with the red dot. Is that a true statement?
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. You know, shooting with a red dot will make you better with iron sights.
Wow.
You know, sometimes guys are worried, well, you know, I'll get used to this. And if I, no, that's not true. Because it forces you actually, you know, to focus on your fundamentals more. And then you start expecting more from yourself because you start realizing that, hey, I'm moving the pistol around. I'm not as stable as I thought and all that sort of thing. So you start expecting more from yourself. And, you know, now you pick up a pistol with, iron sights on it and you still have those expectations. That's not going to say you're going to shoot as well with irons as you will with a dot because the eye is forced to do a lot more work and there's more likelihood of imprecise alignment. But you'll see, you work with RMR for a year and then you go back to iron sights for a few weeks, you'll be surprised how much more accurate you are.
Wow. Well, you know, we talked about RMR at long range, you know, out to 100 yards, 150 yards. How are they on in close quarters combat? Say inside your home and you've got, you know, the crap hits the fan, you've got a moving target 5, 10, 15 feet away. How do they perform there?
Well, what they allow you to do is they allow you to keep visual focus on the target while you're shooting. And still have the same precision you would if you were focusing on the sights. So they reduce that margin for error, and they allow you to take shots that at speeds and under situations that would be exceedingly difficult to do if you were using traditional sights and traditional sighting methods.
And how about in low light conditions?
No, low light conditions are the same. If there's enough light that you can see your target, you know, you can pick up that that red dot.
Yeah. You're okay, tell me the ultimate Gabe Suarez setup. It's going to be a Glock, that goes without saying, right? But, you know, you're the gun that you like, that you carry for home defense. What do you want in your holster?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm carrying right now, and I've been carrying this for a few months now, and I think it's a great compromise of, you know, fighting efficiency and concealment and everything else. We do a customization we call a gutter snipe, and what it is we take Glock 17 and we cut the frame so that it is the same length as a Glock 19 frame. And accepts Glock 19 magazines. And, you know, we do all the stippling and all the trigger work and all of that, but we put a Glock 17 slide on it. So it's like if you took a Glock 34 and shrank it. That's what it's kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
So the weight balance is a little bit more forward than you get on a 19. Slide length is not, it doesn't have any effect on concealment. It's the grip that has the effect on concealment. So this aids in concealment a little bit more. It's like carrying a Glock 19. But the slide is longer, so the balance on the pistol is a little bit better. You got a little longer barrel, so you have, you know, maybe a few feet per second faster. I've got an RMR on there. I've got tritium sights, and I've got one of our triggers, standard 15-round magazine in there, and then a couple of magazines with magazine extensions on the belt. That's what I carry with me all the time, and I have it with me at home. And you know, if I'm in the gym working out. You know, we've got a gym at our home. You know, the pistol comes off, goes on the desk area there, and I do my thing. But it's always nearby. When I'm done with it, I put it back in the belt, and off we go. It's what I train with, what I teach with, what I carry, and so on. And you know, it's a very, very good system. I hope Glock doesn't make one. They seem to be going the other way, making short slides and long frames. And good job, Glock. Keep at it.
Yeah, that's right. But what does something like that run when you talk about your gutter snipe?
Well, you know, it depends. It's you know, it could be really low priced if all you want to do is modify the frame, or you know, the price could go up depending on you know, if you want extras, you want a custom slide, you want a custom barrel and all that. But guys can go on our site and just type in gutter snipe 2 T's and it'll take them to a page where they can look at all the different, you know, ways to get this done. We want to make it affordable and easy for everybody. But, you know, the guys that want a, you know, a total, you know, plug-and-play system, we have that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that sounds really good. You know, I mean, right now I'm still shooting my M&P. I've got a Glock Model 22, but, you know, it's got a little too much recoil for me as far as, you know, successive shots going. And so, you know, it's on my list. You know, I'd like to get a Glock 17, so I will check that out. And
well, you know, you can get a 17 slide for your 22 frame.
Oh,
and it'll work fine. All you have to do is change the ejector in the frame, which is an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything's easy if you know how to do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds great. So, you know, for people, you know, we talked a little bit about AR types. You know, you mentioned 9mm. You know, and I've seen these 9mm carbines that will accept Glock magazines. What do you think about those?
I'm going to take an unpopular opinion or unpopular position. I worked with some that accept Glock magazines early on this last year, a little bit toward the end of the previous year, and to be perfectly honest, I didn't find them as reliable as I would have liked. And I think it has to do with the way the magazines lock up into the system. You know, if you want to expand the capabilities of the pistol, the Glock pistol, there are arm brace systems that you can add to it that sort of convert it into a pseudo, you know, carbine-esque type weapon. And, you know, they use the same magazine, same manual of arms, all that kind of stuff. In my opinion, if you were to take a step up to a dedicated pistol caliber carbine type weapon, in my opinion, again, you know, guys are going to disagree and all this, that's fine. But in my opinion, I would look at the CZ Evo as probably one of the better choices, you know, in the market. You know, the guys that have the coin, you know, there's also a lot of MP5 clones out there now that, you know, potentially are good. You know, when I look at Magpul, I'm good friends with one of the guys that works there, and when I see Magpul coming out with product for a weapon system, I'm thinking, okay, that is a real popular weapon system because they're not into onesie twosies.
Yeah.
You know. And I see that they brought out something for the MP5. I see they brought out something for the Evo, you know, and it's going to be quality stuff. Whatever they bring is going to be good stuff. So anyway, that's kind of my, you know, 2 cents on the matter.
Well, you know, there's just something, you know, I don't want to get overly emotional here, but there's just something emotionally satisfying about a 30-round magazine. It just makes me feel secure, you know. You know, it sounds crazy, but it's like one of my biggest fears is running out of ammunition. And I just I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah.
So 30-round mags, I love them.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, nothing says America better than a 30-round mag.
That's right. Unless it's a 40-round, but they don't make those that I know of. Okay, well, hey, I think we have pretty – oh, one other thing. We haven't talked about laser sights. I have people come to class all the time with laser sights. Can you juxtapose laser sights with red dots? Advantages, disadvantages?
Yeah, you can. In fact, that's one thing that we were experimenting with quite a bit this last year. You know the old saying, one is none, two is one. Well, you know, I believe in that, but three is even better.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, you have three sighting systems on the pistol. You've got your iron sights as the ultimate backup, okay? You've got your red dot, and then you have a laser. And, you know, if you're going to do that, a green laser is better than a red one because you have, you know, you don't have two, which dot am I looking at and this
yeah.
sort of thing. But, there's plenty of situations that you may find yourself in. Where you are not able to bring the pistol up into your line of sight, you know, just the circumstances. It could be that you're injured. It could be that you're using the type of cover that was available and it, you know, you're in a kind of a compromised position or shooting from your back or something like that. So in those circumstances, a laser is beneficial. The other one where it's beneficial is shooting a moving adversary, or you're moving and shooting at a stationary or moving adversary, where because of the requirements of movement, your eye has to be focused on the adversary and the pistol is in movement in relation to your eye. In other words, you don't have a stationary, stable interface between your eye, what you're looking at, and that red dot. Okay.
Yeah.
You can use the laser for those circumstances. There's limits to it, of course. You know, it's not a long range type situation, and it does pinpoint where you are. So, I mean, nothing's free. Okay.
Yeah.
So the laser's not a replacement for a red dot, but in its areas of advantage, it's kind of a cool thing to have. I don't believe the bad guy's going to see a laser on his chest and then basically turn into a big sissy and give up. And, you know, unless he was looking for a way to save face and get out of the fight, that's not going to happen. Okay, yeah. I don't care what anybody tells you. Real bad guy that is intent on killing you, you're not going to change his mind because he sees a red dot.
Yeah.
You know, but to help you hit him under those circumstances that I described, yeah, it's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah. Well, you know, people'll go ahead and they'll get a compact handgun, and then they'll stick it in their gun safes at home, and they say, well, okay, I'm covered on all occasions. But I'm thinking, you know, if you're going to rely on a handgun, you know, in a low light situation, then have something else. I like the idea of a three-tiered sighting system. I really do like that. I mean, on my Model 22, that's, you know, in my bedroom and the gun safe, and that's got the I have a stream light on there. It's got a laser and a flashlight.
And a flashlight. Yeah, if you're going to put a light on it, you may as well put a laser as well.
Yeah, it costs you hardly anything, and it's already there. So I like that. Okay. Well, Gabe, I very much appreciate, you know, all your wisdom and your experience. Can you tell people how can they get a hold of Suarez International?
Well, just come to the website. It's S-U-A-R-E-Z. International.com, and I'll give you guys a code. Just use discount 10, so, you know, in capital letters, the word discount dash 10, and you're going to get 10% off on your purchases.
All right. That sounds great. All right, Gabe. Again, I know I keep saying this, but I am going to make it down there, and I'm thinking...
Do it, man.
Well, I'm thinking 2019 might be the year, because my wife... She almost always gets what she wants, and she has been bugging me to go to the Grand Canyon. And if I'm not mistaken, that's in Arizona.
That is in Arizona.
Right. Okay. All right, Gabe, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right. Okay, folks, we got a two-minute break here. While we're away, go ahead and check out SuarezInternational.com and check out their website, All Things Gabe Suarez, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. When we come back in 2 minutes, I will be giving you the wrap-up, and I'll tell you what I really think. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip. It's time for Armed America Report. What do we have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a knife-wielding man caused a Greyhound bus to crash in Denver. An armed citizen ensured an arrest. The suspect breached the secured area of the bus, allegedly attacked the driver, and spun the steering wheel, causing the bus to go off the road. After it stopped, the assailant crawled out a window, despite attempted intervention by one or more of the passengers. Outside, though, an armed bystander told the fleeing man to freeze and held him at gunpoint till police arrived.
Thanks, Colonel. There are some important legal lessons to be learned in this story about when to use deadly force. First, let's commend the legally armed bystander for stepping in and taking control. Let's also commend the actions of the bus riders who tried to intervene as the bus driver was being attacked. But now let's talk about use of deadly force against a fleeing felon. In general, it should not be done, and in most cases, could even result in criminal and civil charges against the armed citizen. Now, don't get me wrong, there was nothing illegal about this armed citizen issuing a challenge command to the criminal who was running away. You just need to understand that if you yell, "Stop or I'll shoot," and they don't stop, you can't shoot them in the back as they flee. In most cases, a person who is running away from you, trying to get away from you, does not pose a deadly threat, and you'll go to prison for shooting him. Bullets in the back of a man running away are very difficult to defend in the courtroom, and I highly recommend you exercise restraint. Now, if you want to get involved and choose to issue a challenge command, then you have to be convincing. The fleeing criminal will stop only when they are convinced that you will shoot them if they continue fleeing. Think about it. If they stop, they're going to go to jail, so you must convince them that it's in their own best interest to spend time in prison rather than getting away. Here are a few guidelines to follow when issuing challenge commands. Keep it simple. Don't try to get fancy here. Just yell stop. Anything beyond that, while you're nervous, may not come out right. You may even stutter. Yell loudly and forcefully in your most convincing command voice. Yell from the diaphragm, not the voice box, or you may strain your vocal cords. Try to sound like a military drill instructor. And most important, if they don't stop, don't shoot. The only exception to that is if you can prove in a court of law that they still pose an imminent deadly threat against innocent persons. Just be aware that challenge commands don't always work. There are even cases where the person who was challenged stopped, but then turned on the gun-carrying citizen to attack him. Be courageous out there, but also be safe and smart.
Thank you, Skip.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Great time with Gabe Suarez from Suarez International. As always, the guy's incredible. I love his perspective. I love his attitude. The stuff he says, I just find it refreshing to talk to someone and have them tell you what they're really thinking without feeling like they have to sugarcoat it or hide it, or make it politically correct, or, you know, tasteful in some way. He just says, yeah, headshot, that's a good idea. We better do that. You know, I like that. All right, we will have Gabe on again, as always. Every couple of months, I like to have Gabe on there, and I am going to be taking his class or doing some training with him. We talked off air about that, and I think we're going to make it happen this time. Okay. One thing I want to remind you of, the February 16 Church Safety Conference in Berry County. That is at the First Baptist Church of Middleville on M37, just north of Middleville. Go to my website, mwtac.com. That's Michael Whiskey Tango Alpha Charlie.com. And then click on Church Safety Conference, and you can register right there. I'm teaching the active shooter portion. I'll be there. I'll have all 13 of my books. I'll be signing those. I'm doing a Home Defense Show podcast right from that event. So, hey, come on out, say hi, learn a lot of stuff. It's free training, guys. No excuse not to. It's a Saturday. Going to be cold anyways. So come and enjoy yourself. I am working on my 14th book right now. I am just being so incredibly prolific this last 6 months or so. I mean, last September, I published The Blind Man's Rage, the finale in the four-book series, the God Virus series, Apocalyptic Adventure. And then I immediately started Jack Pine Strong and finished that literally in less than 2 months. It was a 185-page blitz, and it just felt so good. I think you'll like that. Upper Peninsula Adventure. All right, but then I started right away again on my next book. I'm doing some nonfiction. It's called Concealed Carry for Christians. It's kind of like a devotional. Basically, I'm writing something that will encourage Christians and their Christian walk and their concealed carry walk, because it's a lifestyle, you know, similar to Christianity. Christianity is a lifestyle, so is the concealed carry lifestyle. You know, they are related, and there's some special concerns for Christians. So I talk about that. I've got four chapters done already. Next week, if we can find the time, I'm going to read a chapter to you, maybe in segment one or in segment four. But hey, going to be a good time. I'm working hard on that. Go back and check out one of our former episodes. We had an episode last year where we interviewed an immunologist, you know, a bacteria viral guy, right? A doctor. It was an excellent interview. Taught me all about viruses. You know, did you know you can't kill a virus? If you want to find out why and how to protect against them, go to that back episode. I think it was episode 64 where I interviewed Dr. Vance. Oh, man, learn how to protect your family against, you know, viruses, the flu. My son got up in the middle of the night about 3 days ago. Cedar, he was puking his guts out. And, boy, he's been running at both ends for a couple of days now. Boy, it would behoove you to help learn to protect your family against flu and all these cold weather illnesses that are going around. Check it out. Most of how you protect your family isn't with a gun. And this is one of the ways that you can do it. Just, hey, be forewarned is forearmed. Get a little bit of knowledge. Okay, well, we're about out of time here. Next week, I'm not sure who I'm going to have on next week. We'll find out, you know, what inspires me. Don't be afraid of the weather. Get out there and train. Do some cold weather Arctic survival concealed carry training. I'm thinking about renaming my classes for December through March here. And maybe we'll have t-shirts made. I survived Arctic survival concealed carry training with Skip Coriel. I should do that. I really should do that. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!